Want to open there? We've been talking this weekend about your journey, about making it through life. We're looking forward to all the things that you have to look forward to in your life and service to God. And we want to help you with that. We want to help prepare you for that. We want to help you be committed to a life of service to God. And so we've been focusing on some of the things that you may face. One of the things that you will face in this journey are times of testing. Maybe in school you're not a fan of tests. You know that, well, there's a test this Friday. Maybe you're not a fan because you know what you need to do is study. You have to make sure you know the material and know what's coming up. And so there's a lot of work involved, and there's a lot of making sure that everything's in place before that test comes. So it makes it kind of challenging to have those tests. But you know the good part about the tests, right? They tell you where you are. They tell you whether or not you know what you thought you knew. They tell you if you're in the right place or not. Tests are very good for us. They're maybe not the most exciting things in life, and we don't really like it, but we know how good they are for us. And that's true in your walk with God, too. It's good for you to go through some tests in life. And let me tell you, as you look down the road, there will be some tests for you. John chapter 9 is a list of tests that this one man goes through. And there's some tests that you will face too. And so we'll just look and see what happens here in John chapter 9. It begins, John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So they're walking along, Jesus and his disciples, and they come across this blind man. And the disciples ask, who sinned here? Was it this man or was it his parents that he was born blind? And you think about why did they ask that question? Maybe it's the same question we have about life in general. I think it's a common question. The Bible talks about it even in the Old Testament, where you have Job as he goes through his trials and his friends come and try to evaluate, why are you in this situation? Why are these bad things happening to you? And sometimes our conclusion is, well, the reason bad things happen to me is because I've done something wrong. I've sinned. And if we were to put it in context of what we're looking at, the reason tests come in my life, the reason trials come in my life, is because I must be doing something wrong. That's a dangerous way to think, because what it does is, if we come up against a hard time or a trial or something bad in our life, we think, well, I must be doing something wrong, so I'm going to change my path and go somewhere else, and I'll try to find that path where nothing bad happens in my life. And when we do that, we're losing sight of what our life should be about, and we're misunderstanding the trials that come into our life. Jesus' answer to their question, "Who sinned here?" Jesus' answer has three parts to it. One part is, neither one of them sinned. Of course, his parents sinned and he sinned. I mean, there's sin here. I mean, it's not like he's saying they're perfect people. His parents are perfect. He's perfect. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, this trial that came upon him is just a trial that's there. And maybe as we look at our trials and our hardships and we try to figure out, you know, why is my life in this situation, and we can pull up all these reasons, and maybe it's this, and maybe it's this, and maybe it's this. How did I end up in this trial or this hard time? Maybe we need to stop looking back and trying to figure all that out and just realize, well, here's where I am. And I've got to deal with it, and I've got to learn from it, and I've got to move on from here. Instead of trying to just getting locked into the past and losing sight of why I'm here. Jesus also says, the day is coming when no one can work. You have this situation you're in, and there's an opportunity in this situation that you need to take advantage of. Take advantage of it before it's gone, and you don't have that opportunity anymore. And he says also, we must work the works of him who sent me. We've got to stay focused on what God wants us to do. So when you face your trials, remember that. Remember, okay, this trial is here, and I can't get away from it. For whatever reason, maybe we've made some mistakes, and that's why we're in the trial. Maybe we're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this trial comes. Maybe it's just circumstances of life. Whatever the reason is, we're in the trial. Now let's do what God wants us to do. Jesus tries to focus his disciples on that. And so they encounter this man, and then Jesus says those things. And then in verse 6, when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. So this is a kind of a different miracle that Jesus performs. He bends down, he spits in the dirt, and he makes this little mud cake. You know, maybe you guys are somewhat young enough. Has your mother ever, you know, you got something on your face, and your mother comes up and she licks her thumb or something, and she cleans your face? You know, kind of disgusting. You know, kind of not what you want to happen. But what if after services today, I'm talking with you and you have something on your face, and I come up to you, oh, you got something on your face, and I lick my finger and I clean your face? That's like, no. You can't do that. My mother, yeah, we're close, you know. Her spit on my face is okay, you know. Jesus is spitting into some dirt and making some mud and applying it to this man's eyes. There's a personal nature to that, isn't there? There's this is Jesus's spit in there, you know. Kind of gross, but maybe it says something about the intimate connection there. Makes this mud, and here's the other interesting part about this. How many miracles did Jesus perform that were right now? You know, someone who couldn't walk, boom, he's healed, he gets his bed up and he walks away. Someone who can't see, boom, now he can see and he walks off glorifying God. Someone who can't hear, someone, whatever, demons, someone, you know, cast them out, they're gone. These immediate miracles he does all the time. But here's one where this guy, he can't see, and instead of Jesus, you know, just saying the word or touching him, he puts this clay on his eyes, and he says to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. This guy gets up with this, you know, the mud on his eyes, and has to be led away to the pool of Siloam. Away from Jesus, Jesus goes somewhere else, and this man is on his own to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus send him away? I think this whole story, as this man is faced with these tests, he's forced to stand for Christ. He's forced to make a decision. Which way am I going to go? Jesus isn't there. He's got to figure this out himself. Certainly we need to understand Jesus is with us. God's with us all the time. But this life of service, this journey that we've been talking about, this is your journey. And you've got to make some decisions in this journey. You've got some choices to make. God's with you, but you've got to do something. I think that's what Jesus is teaching this man here. Okay, I'm leaving you for a bit, and you've got to figure this out. And so he goes and he's sent off to this pool. He washes and he sees. I want you guys to think about I don't know how many of you may have not yet made the decision to be baptized. Cleansing is a big picture throughout the Bible. Here is someone being cleansed. When we're baptized, we're cleansed of our sins and they're washed away. And think about your life and your journey and maybe picture it this way, that Jesus has touched your life in an intimate way. Maybe this weekend is a way to think about Jesus putting this mud on your eyes. You've had that intimate contact with Him. And He says to all of us, go. Go and wash. Go and get cleansed. And we have a choice to make. What are we going to do with that? This morning, we all have that clay on our eyes. What are we going to do with it? If you're a blind man, what would you do? If you were this guy, what would you do? I would go and wash. I mean, who wouldn't? Wow, this guy says, I'm going to be healed. Maybe he knows something about Jesus already, and he's excited about this. And boy, I'm going to be able to see again. God offers us something far greater that even if we were all blind, for us to all see. We're all dead in our sins, and God is offering us salvation. God's offering us a relationship with Him. We can come home to heaven and be with Him forever and have this wonderful home with Him. Right now we're dead without Christ. And God puts this mud on our eyes and says, go and wash. Just like that blind man, it was a no-brainer to go and wash. We should have that same feeling. Okay, I want my sins forgiven. I want to get rid of those sins. If you've made that decision in your life already, then the rest of this story is when you decide you're going to live for God, you're going to be tested. So it's not just, well, yeah, I get to see now. That's great. But you also have to make it through the tests. We have to be committed. Here's what happens with this man. You would think it'd be easy from here, right? I can see. This is great. So it says in John chapter 9, and there in verse 8, therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? And he answered, The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. So here's kind of the first test. Maybe not a big, huge test, but he comes back. He's so excited. And I don't know what it would be like. You've been blind your whole life, and now you can see. You know, you start looking around at all the things that you've touched and maybe heard, and you can see all of that now. What an incredible thing it must be, and how he must just have had a smile on his face as he's coming back. And it says his neighbors and friends, those that knew him, were around him. He starts, I could see, and they say, well, wait a minute here. Wait a minute, I don't know about that. And they start questioning him about what's happened to him. And maybe doubting this whole thing. And is this really you? Yeah, it's me, it's me. And they're just, I'm not sure about that. There's one of the tests that you're going to go through. You decide, I'm going to live for God. You know what? I'm going to do this. I want to be cleansed of my sin and just have that wonderful life with God. I'm so excited about it. And you go and you talk to your friend. Boy, I was baptized last night. Oh, I'm so excited. This is great. And they go, oh, really? Why'd you do that? When you talk to your other friend, oh, really? Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. And you start thinking, well, wait a minute. Maybe should I not have done that? How come they're not excited like I am? What's going on here? Sometimes your friends and those you know aren't going to be excited for you serving God. Not as excited as you are. And that's going to be a test for you. That's going to be something where you've got to say, well, okay, I don't know about this. For this man, it's a matter of, who is this Jesus? Who is this guy that has done this thing to you? And they start questioning him and asking him about that. That's the test. Who is this guy? He tells them, and there's just a lot of doubt there. I don't know about this guy that you're following, that you're, so in love with, and that's done this to your life and changed your life. We don't know about him. And he's faced with that test. You're going to face some of those same tests from people that are close to you, people that know you, that you thought would be excited for you. Here's the second group. There in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. So his friends and people that he knows brings him to the Pharisees. That's a weird thing, isn't it? This guy was blind and now he can see. He tells his friends and they say, I don't know about that. Hey, come over here and talk to these Pharisees. Why did they do that? Maybe one of the reasons his friends had some doubt is because they knew the consequences of committing or saying any good thing about Christ. We learn later on in this story that the Pharisees said, whoever confesses Christ is to be put out of the synagogue. and you think about the consequences of that and what that meant for them, was a complete change in their life, a complete change in who they could be around and what their life was. They had to completely change everything in their life if they were put out of the synagogue. It was the focus of their life as a Jew. And the Pharisees, to put the pressure on those who would follow Christ, said, well, if you follow him, if you confess him, then it's done for you. You're out of the synagogue. Everybody knew that. And so here's this guy coming back. I can see. This is great. And his friends say, okay, who did this? This Jesus guy? Okay, wait a minute. You know, I don't know about that. I don't know. Is this really you? Is this? And there's the doubt circling around that because of the consequences of following Christ. And so they bring him to the Pharisees, maybe to say, look, we didn't, you know, here's him, you deal with it. And so this man that's been begging his whole life is brought before the Jewish leaders. How would you feel about that? You know, someone takes you and you're brought before the leaders of your nation. And you have to begin to answer some questions. And maybe you know, too, the consequences of that, you know, of where you might stand on that. And they start questioning you about this. One of the tests you're going to face, and what I see him going through, are people that are going to question the truth of what you're following. They start questioning him about, okay, what happened? How did it happen? Is this really true? Some people are saying, no, it can't be from God. And they start, you know, putting down Christ. This man is not from God because he does it on the Sabbath. So this was the Sabbath day when all this happened. So he can't be from God. There will be people that start discrediting your service to God. Well, you're following, oh, you know what? There is no God. And here's why. You know what, doing what, you know, whatever you're going to do, whatever service to go, oh no, that's you can't even believe the Bible, you know, because it's been altered and changed. And so they'll explain away that, or they'll, whatever you're doing, how you're living, whatever you say, this is the truth, they're going to question that. And you're going to be tested with that, and you're going to have to figure that out and answer that. And here's this man standing before this leader's saying, this man's not from God. He's not someone you need to even consider and think about and follow in life. There's some pressure there, right? I guess he could have said, wow, okay. I don't know what happened there, but I'll just leave that and I'll just go on with my life. They ask him, well, who do you think he is? Maybe that's their test. Okay, now you tell us, who do you think he is? And he could have said, like they said, oh, he's not from God. He can't be from God. He did it on the Sabbath. But what did he say? He is a prophet. He's somebody from God. He stood up. There was pressure. There was a test. You're going to face the same test. What are you going to say? Who is this Jesus you're following? What do you think about him? You're going to have to answer those questions. And there's going to be pressure to give an answer that is less than true. This man didn't do that. Here's another test he faced in verse 18. Maybe the hardest test, I don't know. Verse 18, the Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, or who opened his eyes we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents are brought in. And they begin to ask his parents about what happened. And they don't really stand with him. I wonder how much this hurt him. When his parents basically said, you know, here they are with him. Oh, son, oh, you can see, oh, great. And then they start being questioned. And, you know, tell us about this. You know, how does he now see? And I'm sure their son was telling them, look, Jesus did this. And he healed me. And he put this mud on my eyes. And I can see now. And it's great. Oh, great, son. All right, great. Okay, now tell us, how did this happen? Well, I don't know. You know, and they kind of back off and leave their son standing all alone. We don't really want to say, we don't really want to commit, we don't really want to say what he's, you know, saying is true and right and good. And we'll back off from that because of the pressure that they felt. They were tested too. And they weren't willing to stand on the truth and say, this is what's right. And they leave their son out by himself. And here's their son watching his parents back off. The people that, of anybody, maybe his friends, okay, I understand why they didn't, you know, they weren't all excited. But here's my mom and dad. And they back off from me. There's a lot of pressure right there. As they backed off, isn't the tendency to kind of go, well, okay, well, I'll get over here where you are, mom and dad. I don't want to stand by myself over there, so we'll all be together here and we'll just say this was no big deal and we'll just move on. Instead, he stands over here. Because it's true, because it's right. You're going to face some of those challenges, and it may be from your family. Your brother, your sister, your parents, your uncle, your aunt. It may be from your family. And those are very hard. Because you want to be with them. You want to follow them. You want them to be on your side and them on your side and you're on their side. You want to be together. And there's going to be that test to see, will you stand for the truth or will you follow your family? That's a tough decision. Choose the truth. You're going to face that test. There'll be a time when you face that test. Choose the truth. This man did. In verse 24, so a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciple too, do you? They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us? So they put him out. Now it gets personal. They bring this man in again. They've talked to his parents. I'm sure they've talked to his friends. And they bring him in again, and they say, all right, now we're getting to the bottom of this. And they start discussing with him about Jesus. And what they want him to do is just give up on Jesus. He's done. He's not someone you need to be following. And so they start saying, basically, he's not from God. They give a few reasons for that. One, in verse 24, is this man's a sinner. Okay? Don't put any stock in Jesus. He's a sinner. The second reason is in verse 28, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. So, he's not from Moses, or he's not following Moses. We have the old law. We have what God sent, and this man is somebody else. And so, don't follow him. They give another reason in verse 29. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, where's he from? Who is this guy? I don't even know him. And then, another reason in verse 4, why they were upset at him. Verse 34, they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" You can't even make a statement about Jesus because you're a sinner too. You were born in sins, they say. So, just give up on Jesus. They've attacked the truth of the matter, questioning Jesus, but now they attack him. Now their focus is on him. It says they reviled him. They kind of make fun of him. They put him down. They're upset at him for his choice to serve Christ. Isn't that interesting? I mean, why can't he just live his life, and if he wants to follow Christ, follow Christ? How does it affect them? Well, it affects them in a way. Because the more people that follow Christ, the less follow them, and their way of life is affected. It affects things. Your service to God affects people. Maybe we don't always see it and realize it, but if you're working at a place, and you're a Christian, and nobody else is, there's some tension there because you're a Christian. And maybe the tension is just seen by people saying, "Oh, sorry, I said, you know, I know you're a Christian and I shouldn't talk that way." What that shows is there's some tension there. They realize you're different. You've made a stand for something and your life is different than their life. And it affects their life. And some people don't like that. And they're not only going to attack what you believe. Oh, you believe in Jesus and the Bible, and they'll try to discredit all that. But sometimes people will attack you. And they'll try to tear you down. And they'll try to find fault in you or some way you act or some things you do. And they'll try to tear you down like these people are doing with this man. And that's a challenge. That's a test for you. Because what you'll want to do is say, "Okay, I give up. You know, I give in." As they start putting the screws to this man, "Okay, where are you, man? You're no good. Jesus is no good. What are you going to do?" And he basically says, "Look, this guy opened my eyes. I can see now." That's the truth. That's where he keeps going back to. What's the truth? This is what's right, and I can't move from it. Boy, that upsets them more. And finally it says they put him out. They put him out of the synagogue. They changed his life. Life of his family as he's kicked out. He faced the consequence. There's going to be consequences for your service to Christ. If you want to serve him, you want to give your life to him, there will be consequences. Some things you'll miss out on. Some things that maybe everybody else is doing, you won't be able to do. Because you'll choose to do something else that's good and right. You'll miss out on some things. It says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." It says, after all this, and I don't know how long this took to bring people in and talk to them and quiz them and go through all this, but they kick him out of the synagogue, they make the statement, "Okay, you're banished, you're out." And he leaves, and I'm sure he's thinking about all this. And then Jesus finds him. He heard about it. "Hey, that guy you... that was blind, that you healed, he was kicked out of the synagogue." And so Jesus searches around and he finds him. He finds him and he starts talking with him. You know, I said, why did Jesus send him off? Jesus sent him off so that later he could find him and start talking to him about what happened. What'd you learn from that? How'd you do with all that testing? That's our life, right? Here we have the mud on our eyes and we have to make the choice. Are we going to go wash in the pool? And we live our life and we have to make some choices and we have to pass those tests. But we know we're going to face Jesus again and have to talk to him about how we did on those tests. It's coming. It'll happen for all of us. And Jesus finds him and talks with him and about what happened. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "Here's why I have come into the world. For judgment." We think about judgment as, you know, that final boom, you know, you're going to hell or heaven or whatever it is. But here's another way to think about judgment is that I need to practice judgment in life. I need to figure things out. We all need to figure things out. You've got to figure out your path. So when that test comes, you have a choice to make. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to follow my family or am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow my friends or am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow those who just really think the Bible's nothing or am I going to follow the truth? Which way am I going to go? And you have a judgment to make. This man made the right judgments. Jesus wanted him to go through those tests. Those tests were good for him. Because he ended up at a place where he knew what the truth was, and he was standing for the truth. We need the tests in our life. You need those tests and those trials to help you determine where you really stand. So face those tests and those trials with faith in God, with a stand for the truth and for what's right, and know that God is with you, and that in the end, you'll see. Remember, you have the mud on your eyes. Make the choice to give your life to God and pass those tests and do what's right. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.